Also, what with Stars End hitting its 30th anniversary this year, allegedly, I've thought back about the early days of the program, and I actually was not here at the beginning of Stars End. I started at WXPN in 1980, as back during that time, the station was a community volunteer-run station, and they actually offered a training course to community members to come on the air. And I was part of that. I had a little bit of radio experience prior to that, but nothing really to speak of. And I guess back then in 1980, when if somebody had to ask me, what do you think you'll be doing in 25 years, I think I'd say, well, I'd probably be on the air doing fundraiser with John DiLiberto and Gino Wong, and darn if that's not what I'm doing tonight. Because here in the studio, I have two people joining me, John DiLiberto and Gino Wong, who were here at the early days of Star's End. So thanks a lot for coming in, guys, and staying on late. We really, really, really appreciate you coming in. It's great to have you back on the air.
Well, it's great to be back here, Chuck. Sure. It's an honor to be asked.
Well, John, I wanted to let's talk a little bit before we get back to some music and more fundraising, which is what we're on the air tonight for. But I was reading this book or flipping through this book the other day called Public Radio, Behind the Voices. It's by Lisa Phillips, I think.
Lisa Phillips, huh?
Yeah, and it has 43 chapters or profiles on various celebrities and personalities in the public radio world, and Echoes and yourself among them. And so I was reading over the that chapter, and I noticed you speak a little bit about when you were a station member and a student at Penn, and how Stars End got started 30 some years ago. And I was struck by two things. One of them was that actually, there's not really a definite date as to when it started. I guess nowadays...
Well, there is a definite date. I just can't remember.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that was...
We didn't think we were doing anything momentous at the time.
Right. Well, the other thing was that it was... When I think about Star's End or about doing radio, I think about, you know, one person, usually myself these days, just in a room, you know, spinning records and you know, trying to stay awake all night. But apparently from this article that I read, that there was you know, a whole group of you, or there was, you know, it was much more than just sitting in a room spinning records. But anyway, my point is, I just wanted you to recount what it was like back then, and if you can't remember a date, let me know, because it was I didn't start listening until the, I don't know, the later in the 70s.
Well, I started Stars End, we were doing Diaspar at the time, might remember, which was a very high energy kind of progressive rock fusion show. But all this great space music was coming in. And Diaspar used to be called energy music. That was like the slogan of the show. So it's kind of hard to say, you know, you're listening to energy music on Diaspar, and then you put on this Klaus Schulze track, there's just, oh, you know. So we really loved that music, and we thought, you know, there might be a better place for it. So I thought of the show doing a space music show. Essentially, I'd done some experiments with it earlier on Mosaic and things. I'd done several of those. But I realized even then that there's no way I was going to be able to stay up, you know, even one night a week from 1 to 6 a.m. doing a show like that on a weekend. So I got another guy to do it with me. His name was Steve Pross, who was a music director and I think program director of the station as well back then. And so he agreed to do it with me. And Steve was a Diaspar acolyte, and he was into this music. So
and he also never slept.
He also never slept. Yeah, he wasn't on drugs, but he seemed like it. And so we did. Now Steve went on to become Roy Kafka and also started Yesterday's Now Music Today, which was the punk show on XBN. Like, that was about a year or so later. He kind of did a 180 flip and totally abandoned this music and totally went punk. But that's how it started. And he and I would alternate every other week doing the show. And then eventually, you know, other people started coming in, like Gino Wong, like yourself. There were so many.
Floyd Miller.
Floyd Miller,
exactly.
Judy Wiglarski used to do it too, and we would alternate, and you know, sometimes it would be a three-person rotation, sometimes four, and sometimes just two, and now
it's
just
one.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
get the Iron Man Award for Stars Then.
The last kid on the playground. Well, in the beginning, any idea what year that was? It must have been around 1975 or 76.
It was 75 or 76 for sure. Steve was still in school. I was maybe out of school, I think. But Steve Pross was definitely in school at the time. It had to be 75 or 76. I wish I could remember. I keep trying to find something to pin it to that would you know, flip the date on for me, but I just can't nail it down.
No, it seems like kind of ambiguous, actually, as to if you were just sort of doing it intermittently at first, maybe.
No. Well, no, yeah, but really? The show started. I mean, it was Star's End, you know.
Right here at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
It was on 1 o'clock at Saturday. We thought that was the best time for it. We thought that was actually a good time. It wasn't like we were aiming for a more prime time slot for it. We really wanted it to be on at this time.
It was prime time for us.
Yeah, it was prime time for us. And we thought, you know, boy, this is just a great show for people to drift off to, you know, at night, and to just completely zone out into this music. And there was so much of that music coming out then. I mean, it was the heyday of Tangerine Dream and Klaus Schulze, Ashra Temple, you know, all the German space bands, Jean-Michel Jarre, Vangelis, all that stuff was happening. We play avant-garde things as well, Pauline Oliveros and Robert Ashley and things like that. We'd slide into the show. But certainly the German space sound was the key identity of the show, for sure.
Oh, yeah, the Virgin Music Mail or Krautrock section was at a Melody Maker was a main supplier for a number of years.
I guess early on it was just you and Steve, and you were students at Penn, but also then, I guess other people, that's how Gino got involved. It was, I don't think Gino went to Penn, right?
No, I went to Temple.
Right. So people from the community started coming in, and what did you find, Gino, when you first, or how did you wind up getting in here?
I bumped into this madman in a record store, and we started arguing.
Over a Jade Warrior album?
Yeah. That was Vangelis' album.
Okay.
And he told me to go visit the this guy who was Jim Campbell, who was manager of the station. And I met with him, and a week later he was replaced by somebody named Peter Kuzo. And I suddenly found myself up here on a Christmas night eating spiked cookies and doing a radio show and with Diane Kaplan and John. And that was, things started to change direction a little bit when I showed up, because you and I started fighting a lot. And you know, it went from
over real, musical taste or
well,
politics,
no, it was more of a, everybody had their own approach, which kind of made it cool. And people started to notice, and the show started to get more popular around 1977, I think.
What, your approach to Star's End, like with all the different DJs, there was a different flavor every week when someone new would come, someone different would come in to spin?
Yeah, you know, there was a basic approach that everybody had, and then, you know, there were other things that we would do. Like, I would use echo in my voice in the background occasionally, and John did for a while, but then it got unfashionable with him, and I would do things like
became a cliche.
Yeah, and I would play two records at a time. I would, you know, bring up Music Concrete tapes that I had recorded in college and mix them up with the records, and sometimes I'd drag up a synthesizer or street noises and stuff like that, and mixing in with the music and lie about where it came from.
But, you know, I always thought if John was the brains or the brawn behind Star's End, you were always the mystique. Because I remember this one night, you know, I used to listen to you guys at home and on the radio, and I remember this one night, I don't know if you were running late or something, but you got in finally and turned on the microphone and said, "Hi, this is, you're listening to Star's End. This is Gino Wong in Out of the Cool of the Night." And I thought, wow, this guy's got to be like the coolest person in the world, you know, with a opening line like that. And, but I think people do really,
people remember stuff that you say that you don't remember, Gino.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've also like so much stuff on the air that, you know, it just blows by, but, you know, it tweaks somebody, you know? Everything you've said on the air is like there's somebody out there who's gotten you know,
over the years. I know it's been quoted to me many times, and I don't remember anything. I was a sociopath back then, and
I'm just saying that when people talk to me about Star's End, your name comes up quite a bit. Maybe that's because of it, because you had such, even though the show is all about the music and you really don't get on the mic very much, you still, your personality still came through, which is. You know, for just doing one announcement an hour, that's not that easy to do.
Well, some of us did more than one announcement, Chuck.
Yeah, okay.
You're the one announcement king.
Well, let's talk then about just you spoke a little bit about the kind of music that made up the core albums or the core groups that established Star's End. But how did you come up with this format of segues and such diverse music?
That was all out of Dias Bar. And yeah. That was started by Emmett Ryan, who was the guy who really created Dias Bar, even though I'm like identified with it. He created it, and he was kind of my mentor early on. And that whole, although I think we took segues to a higher art than like he was doing it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what Dias Bar is all about. And of course, so we carried that over to Star's End. And, you know, frankly, it's a lot easier segueing stuff on Star's End because you are pulling from a more coherent musical pool to draw from, so it's a lot easier to segue that music. But yeah, again, it was creating the flow, creating a journey. It would go up, it would go down, there would be, you know, energized moments, totally spaced out moments, but it was never, you know, jarring. There was never a snap transition from one thing into the other. It was all about the flow.
Yeah, and one of the things I used to do is I used to manipulate people, which is, you know, one of the reasons why I said I was a sociopath. You know, I would play something very dense and concrete in the middle of the night and disturb people's sleep. And,
at least make it more interesting.
Yeah, get husbands to wake their wives up and things like that, you know. And it was just one of those things where you can mess with someone's consciousness as you go, you know, as you play this stuff through the middle of the night and things like that. And you can play all sorts of music, and all you have to do is just, you know, play a little bit of it, a snippet of it. You know, play it at really low volume.
Subliminal.
Yeah, and basically mess with people's heads. And, you know, it's the music that you hear, you know, inside your head. And when you're sleeping, you can get inside somebody's head without them really noticing.
Thanks for coming in and staying up late and helping me out tonight.
Well, it's great to be here. And, you know, I don't think we would have ever imagined back then that you'd be raising the kind of money that you do now on the show, Chuck, which is pretty amazing, because I think the support you've gotten for the show over the years has been extraordinary and far beyond what we were doing back in the early days. And that's because people were calling 1-800-565-WXPN. That's 1-800-565-9976 to become members of the station. And, you know, it's only because of people supporting the show that A, XPN keeps it on the air, and B, Chuck drags his butt in here every you know, Saturday night to do this show, you know, because he wants to share the music with people, but we need to know that the people are out there. So you need to call now at 1-800-565-WXPN or 565-9976 to become a member of the station. Really, it's just not a lot of money. And you get 5 hours of great space music every weekend evening here on WXPN. So why don't you call now?
Yeah, I remember in past years, when back when we were on the air, we used to raise money during our annual WXPN marathons. And we used to get great turnout from the listeners. It was one of the top grossing shows for its time slot. As a matter of fact, it was far and beyond any other show on, you know, at that particular time of day. And the show even turned up on the Arbitron charts. You know, that's how popular this show was, as well as Dias Bar. So there are people out there listening, and now we've got an extended listening area with new stations hooked into our network. And I know that when I was doing Star's End, there was a Star's End tape tree where, you know, people would tape the show and then send them to people in adjacent counties and states and places like that. And I know that now, you know, the broadcast actually reaches out into those realms. So we have a whole bunch of new people out there who are listening, who, you know, were formerly listening to tapes and things like that.
Well, John, you're actually a public radio professional, and I'm not sure, but I don't think any other stations bother to raise money during this time slot, do they?
No. Most stations, in fact, stop about 8 o'clock or so. Some may go to 10, but they're definitely not trying to raise money even at this hour of the morning. Most stations are running on automation.
Yeah.
You know, at this time of the night, you know, very few are doing it. They're just filling time, really. They're not doing anything, you know, creative or, you know, experimental or interesting like this.
Well, speaking of your profession, you are the host and the nationally syndicated radio program called Echoes, and I guess there's an interesting path between Star's End and Echoes that you've taken. I remember back in the 80s, you had a really great show called Totally Wired, and and some other things that, that you produced. Why don't you tell us about how you got from Star's End to Echoes? I know it's a maybe it's a long story, but you can yeah, bring
it.
I'll
make it short. And while I'm doing it, don't forget to call 1-800-565-WXPN to become a member. I was doing Diaspora with Kimberly Haas in the 1970s and 80s, and we were trying to figure out a way how we can make a living and still be involved with this music, because, you know, I never tried to be a DJ on a country western station or a rock station or anything, because I didn't want to be involved with that music. This is the music I want to be involved with. So we tried to figure out ways that we could actually make a living doing it. So we did a couple of documentary series, short docs on like Charlie Parker and Edgar Varez and things like that. And then we created Totally Wired, which ran from 82 to 89. And that was a weekly documentary series on new music, and it was everyone you would hear on Diaspora, Star's End. I mean, we interviewed almost all those people. We went to Europe several times and got, you know, Klaus Schulze and Tangerine Dream and Kraftwerk and Mark Shreve, who we just heard. We got to did him back in 1982. So we did all those people, throughout that span. And then, you know, we thought, well, it'd be nice to have something that was more expansive than just this one-hour documentary every week. And that's how we created Echoes, which would have been 1989, so it's 17 years that we've been doing that. And, you know, Echoes is, you know, in terms of genres, it's a bit more expansive than Star's End. We cover a lot more ground, a lot of acoustic music. It's probably like 50-50. And so that's been going and still going and kind of growing, and does great on this station. WXPN is one of our is our biggest station, not just the station itself, but our audience on the station is our biggest audience in the country.
Yeah, you can hear it weeknights here on WXPN beginning at 11 p.m. And I think you're on 126 stations across the country.
130 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Close,
certainly one of the most interesting radio stations. most interesting radio shows you can hear on the radio anywhere, really.
Well,
get right down to it.
A lot of
thank you.
I think a lot
You're
of
welcome.
A lot of times people, especially people who are recently come to Star's End, they think that I started the show, or that I'm the only host that there ever has been. But actually, when I first started back in 1980, the show had been going for a few years, and when I first got an air shift, there were like four or five of us in the rotation. And I remember it was myself and Gina Wong and Gene Daly and Bob Freeland.
Gene Daly.
Yeah, and Bob Freeland. And there might have been somebody else on the air also at that time. But over the years, there's like a pretty decent list of people who have actually hosted Star's End. And of course, since It eventually dwindled down to just Dave Mayer and myself, and in 1995 he moved up to New York to go to school, and then it was
become a doctor of philosophy.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, and so ever since then it's just been myself. But let's walk down memory lane and try to start a Hall of Fame or something here.
Gordon
with
Danis.
Some of the names.
Well,
yeah.
Gordon Danis, he was a program director at the station, and he still is a hardcore space music aficionado. I mean, he's completely into it. He lives up in New York now.
Great mate of mine.
And he's off the radio, but he still loves the music, and I'm still in touch with him a bit. Janet Quigley.
My college sweetheart.
Yeah, Gino's old girlfriend. Karen Impala, who I believe is still on the radio out in Iowa somewhere. Now, I don't think she's doing this kind of music, because she was really a folky at heart.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Judy Wiglarski.
Judy Wiglarski, who actually worked for Echoes for a while and for Totally Wired, and she used to fill in quite a bit on the show. In
she
the
could
80s,
do anything.
I guess, right?
She could do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing Judy used to do, this is an interesting story to some, is, I would come in and I'd do Star's End, and, sometimes... Sometimes an evening on the town, or I would be working for my record label in New York, and I would drift in a couple minutes before the show would begin, and I'd be full of coffee and all sorts of other things. I'd do the show, and I'd be completely drained, and I'd have the lights down and the windows closed and the blinds closed, and Judy would come in to do Sleepy Hollow, and she would throw the windows wide, let light in the room, come around and start spraying things on the surfaces and wiping the dust off the turntables and things like that. And it was just such a strange way to... such a jarring awakening Wish I could have shared it with the listeners that morning. I just
that's a behind-the-scenes moment there.
Yeah,
but
right.
Also,
it really was.
But also, let's not forget about a couple other people I just thought of. Well, Floyd Miller, who's actually here tonight,
he's
hosting Stars
mm-hmm.
End.
Great guitar player.
And yeah, and there was another guy named Dan Schwartz who did the show for a while as well.
That's right. Forget about Dan.
And,
Fourier Dan.
Yeah. And then and Jeff Towne also. I'm not sure if Michelle Polizzi was actually in the rotation, but he did sub here and there. I'm sure he did. He subbed here and there. He would get kind of.
I don't know.
He might have gotten called in.
He did at least.
Not unless
twice.
I was incapacitated on the floor or something.
No, I think towards the end of the show he got bored and just
didn't
want
to let Michelle get too close to the show, man. He might start playing opera or something. Yeah.
Gino Vanelli.
Well, he did. I think he did get a little bored as the night wore on. But well, there's even more people that we're not remembering.
Well, that's actually it probably
that's
is,
it
but
probably
that's
is, yeah.
quite a load of people.
Did Michael
and,
Palis ever do a Star's End? Maybe once.
No.
No, but I've seen him recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he comes down for gigs occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the rotation's been strange. Sometimes it's been three people, and sometimes it's been two people, and it's been three people, and sometimes I would do it twice a month,
yeah.
and other people would do it once a month each.
Yeah.
And at some point during the 10 years I did it, I know that it seemed I was on almost every week for a while.
Oh, gosh, I hope we didn't leave anybody out.
Yeah,
but,
well, but now the show's definitely identified with you, Chuck.
It's Chuck Manziel
show.
You've
definitely, you know... As much as I'm identified with Diaspar, you definitely identify with Star's End. I mean, you've kind of made it your own, and it's great the support that you've gotten. People calling in at 1-800-565-WXPN to become members, and Chuck's got all kinds of thank you gifts, some great CDs, and those Ian Body discs you have. That's his best album.
Yeah.
I mean, Ian Body's been making music since the very early 80s.
Yeah.
And his new CD, Elemental, is far and away, I think his best CD. I mean, it would be a CD of the month on Echoes if it wasn't an import. It's a great album.
Yeah. I want to reach out to you longtime Stars and listeners. I want you to know that Chuck has picked up the torch and carried this over the years virtually by himself. And, you know, I'm very, very grateful to him for doing that because, you know, when I left, I thought that may very well be it because they were taking the place apart at the time when I was leaving the station and taking a lot of shows off the air and things like that. And if you really appreciate this show, you should give us a call now and, you know, show your support and calling.
Well, it's good to be here, especially here in that Michel Moulin piece. That was just a timeless record. You know, I don't know, when was that done, Gino? Early 80s or late 70s?
Mid to late 70s.
Yeah, that it sounds like it could have been done today. You know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful album.
It's funny how we got our copies. You picked up copies in Oregon and brought some to the station. I picked up mine in Fnac in Paris. And that was one of the things about getting records for this radio show. You know, you talk about world music. The people who did Diaspar and Star's End, you know, we would travel far and wide, and a lot of records that we played, we went and acquired ourselves from around the world. You know, I worked in the record industry, and John was doing his thing, and Michelle was regularly going over to France, visiting his parents, and things like that. And, you know, we would go everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, brought back records from Poland, Germany, Japan.
Yeah, well, plus also, like, people knew about this radio station, and so they sent you a lot of stuff that just came in the mail. I know that used to have a service from Sky and Innovative Communications.
Right.
And
Virgin,
yeah.
when Virgin was cool.
Yeah. And before Virgin was even a serious record label, we were you know, the early days of Virgin, I bought my first Tangerine Dream records from Virgin Music Mail Order when they were just a shop.
Wow, yeah. Well, Philadelphia seems to have has a long history of weird music, or at least electronic music. How did this happen here? Any
it
ideas?
Happened here because of Star's End.
Wow.
I mean, you know, because you've really brought that to a zenith, because you not only have been doing Star's End, but you've been doing those gathering shows that you put on with Jeff Towne and Art Cohen.
Brilliant.
And those, it's a brilliant series, and people think that Philadelphia is a mecca of electronic music, and in a way it isn't. It's a mecca of the media of electronic music. It's a mecca of getting that music out there, but there's not necessarily that much electronic music being done here anymore. I mean, back in the day, there was a lot of local groups. Nightcrawlers are active, Ghostwriters, Tangent, Waz.
Water Sports, Stephen Spera.
So there's a lot of stuff going on then, but you know, not so much now. But I think people have that impression because of Star's End and because of the Gathering series that you do. I think people don't realize how lucky they are to have this resource, and that's why they need to be calling right now at 1-800-565-WXPN. That's 565-9976. Become a member of this radio station and support this incredible show that has now been on for 30 years. And you know, sometimes you know, you take things for granted, and 30 years is, you know, it gets pretty easy to take things for granted.
Yeah.
that length of time. But you know, it's an effort for Chuck to put the show together every week. You know, it's always a struggle to get this kind of music on the air, because people are always looking for something, you know, a little bit more mainstream to go to. But Chuck has been pushing the envelope on his own now for what, 20 years? 15 years? 15 years.
Well, since about 95, Dave Mayer, it was just he and I up until then, and
okay.
Then he moved away to go to school about 95, so it's been over 10 years.
I mean, it's just amazing the effort that he's done, and you know, and I gave it up, you know, quite some time ago, because it was so hard, but Chuck has kept at it, and really that's why you need to call now, 1-800-565-WXPN, 1-800-565-9976.
Well, there was, speaking of the long hours into the night, there was a matinee version of Star's End on Friday nights, and I never got to do that because of my work schedule. As I'm sure everybody knows, I have a regular day job that doesn't have anything to do with music. This is just the Star's End and the Gatherings concert series and the group I play and the Ministry of Inside Things are all peripheral to my full-time government job. But the idea of having a Friday night Star's End was brought up in sometime in the 80s, and that was sort of like, was that, what was the purpose of that? So
it was called Echoes.
Yeah.
It was called Echoes.
No, it wasn't. It was Star's End. It was Friday Star's End.
Yeah, and we called it Echoes.
It went on at like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. It was pre-Echoes.
It came on at 11 o'clock.
I think it was 11 to 2.
And the first piece I played was Echoes.
By Pink Floyd.
Yes.
And it was a great idea, I thought, you know, to you know, kind of move Star's End to maybe a time where there's actually more listeners to hear the show. Plus, it would be a good chill-out thing, you know, going into the weekend. I think it started at 10 or 11 o'clock. I can't remember what it was.
It was 11 and then 11. Ended at 2, which is when the experimental radio project began.
And John Andrews, I remember, used to do that shift quite a bit back then. He was another jock who did Diaspar and Star's End and Blue Genesis. But it never seemed to take off, and I think we all kind of agreed that it wasn't taking off.
I was kind of out of it because my commitments to the record business was like,
yeah. Well, I was still here.
Yeah.
And I think.
Well, what was it? It just, he couldn't, like you're playing shorter tracks, or just this music is seems more suited to really the dead of night.
Just didn't develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I wish I had an answer for it.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask you about, as you're, you know, well established in the professional or in the public radio industry, is about just about the nature of public radio now, because there seems to be still quite a few stations that depend on local programming, but also there's quite a bit of syndicated programming as well, and. Could you just talk about that, and maybe how Star's End fits into all of that?
Well, you couldn't launch a show like Star's End in public radio on a station of any size, which XPN is a station of considerable size, in public radio. I mean, you could not start a show on a station like this now. It would be impossible. You know, people would just not perceive it as having a big enough of an audience, and it's become too much of a business.
A
little too strange. Yeah, public radio has become very much a business. And actually, music's getting pushed off of public radio. You know, XPN's is an anomaly in that it's an all-music station. HYY is really what most public stations sound like in major markets.
Yeah, yeah. Opera on Sunday. You know.
No, that's even going.
Wow.
And the jazz and classical station have collaborated to become one mainstream jazz and classical station. You know, one lowest common denominator of each. You know, music is a really precious thing, and music on the edge and developing music is a really precious thing because it's very, very important. It's a thing that artists listen to. It's a thing that the creative people listen to. And it's a thing that kids listen to.
Guys, thanks very much for coming in and helping me out with this tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the invitation. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Chuck.
I've been up this late on the radio in about 20 years or so.
Yeah,
it's been 18 years since I've been in front of a microphone.